So most companies have not been having a great year so far, but none are feeling the pain quite as much as car manufacturers. Of course, Tesla has been getting most of the attention as its stock price has plummeted by more than 50% since its peak late last year. Sales across the world have plummeted, as the brand has become an unintentional political statement, a political statement that doesn't really vibe with the type of people that buy electric cars. But the truth is that most other car companies are happy to let Tesla soak up the headlines, because under the proverbial hood, they have a lot of problems of their own. Major brand bankruptcies are now basically inevitable. Will they, won't they trade wars are crippling supply chains, new manufacturers from China are undercutting global markets, and worst of all, people just simply can't afford to buy cars right now. And in response to this simple financial reality, automakers have responded by making their cars more expensive than ever before.
Told Honda it wants to call off merger talks. That's according to a Reuters source on Thursday.
Honda, Mitsubishi, and Nissan had been in talks to form a joint holding company, but ultimately they could not agree on terms.
For buyers with limited income or credit scores, Jessica Caldwell of Edmunds says more Americans are opting for longer repayment plans.
And finally, Bill, for folks who are really struggling, you know I always say this one, pick up the phone, call your lender, let them know the truth. You're struggling and you need help.
So the simple reality for most people in America is they can't responsibly afford to own a car, but they also can't afford not to own a car. The Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956 built out the American interstate system and decidedly made most cities extremely car-centric. These new highways connected cities, and lobbying from automobile manufacturers pushed local public transport out of the way in favor of car-friendly streets. The adoption of the car also let mostly middle-class white Americans move out of cities and into newly developed single-family suburbs built around independent transportation. According to data from the US Census and the American Public Transport Association, 92% of American households own a car, but only 55% have access to any form of public transportation. And even for those that do, it's not always reliable or practical. Now, this has hurt the finances of a lot of households in truly unprecedented ways over the last 7 decades, but it has been fantastic for business. America has had the world's most valuable car market for most of the last century. Today, we have been overtaken by China, who buys roughly twice as many cars as we do, but they also have almost 5 times as many people, so it's not really fair. We also, on average, buy much larger and more expensive cars. Even though China buys twice as many vehicles, total market revenue is roughly the same because we spend almost twice as much on every car. A lot of our most popular models are so large that they can't even be sold into other major markets. But automakers don't mind because in the past, they have been able to make so much money from the American market that these vehicles are worth making even if they can't be sold anywhere else. Either by choice or necessity, we Americans are also far more willing to take on debt to purchase a new vehicle, often rolling equity from one vehicle into a down payment for a new vehicle with a new loan. Auto loans are now at a record $1.6 trillion, more than double what they were just a decade ago, back when rates were also a lot lower. So yeah, America has a dangerous obsession with big cars and risky personal debt. I know what you're thinking, that's not exactly groundbreaking journalism. But a unique mix of record high debt, high interest rates, collapsing secondhand values, high sticker prices, stagnating purchasing power, and uncertain economic conditions might mean that the car market has created its own reckoning. So it's time to learn how money works to find out how much further the car market can stretch itself. This week's video is sponsored by FlexiSpot. I spent hours sitting at my desk every day, and my old chair just wasn't cutting it. Uncomfortable, unstable, and honestly, overdue for a replacement. After searching for a high-quality ergonomic chair, I found the FlexiSpot C7 Max, built for all-day comfort and durability. The adjustable backrest moves up or down to fit your height perfectly, and the lumbar support isn't just for your lower back. It also supports your sacrum for better posture. The 3D adjustable headrest tilts to your ideal angle and can be readjusted in seconds, while the 5D armrests move effortlessly to support your arms while typing or gaming. Unlike basic chairs, this one has a 0.2-inch latex seat cushion with memory foam, designed to keep you comfortable for up to 12 hours without losing support. It also offers a 135-degree reclining backrest and customizable seat depth, so you can fine-tune it exactly how you like. Whether I'm working, gaming, or just leaning back to relax, the C7 Max keeps me supported in every position. And with a 30-day risk-free trial and a 10-year warranty, you can try it out with confidence. Check it out using my link in the description for the best price. And if you're on a tighter budget, the C5 model is another great option with solid build quality and essential ergonomic features. The price of an average new car has increased much faster than average wages. Today, the average car would set you back just under $50,000, which is only $9,000 shy of the average annual salary, before taxes. Buying the car is also just step one. Insurance and maintenance on increasingly technical cars has also become more expensive over time. So, how can people afford to spend their entire income on a car? Well, of course, they can't. According to data from the Fed, over 80% of new vehicle purchases today were done through financing, and dealerships have recognized this as one of their primary profit centers. The average dealership today is more of a loan shop with an occasional side hustle of selling some cars, and over time, they have become increasingly creative with how they will finance a vehicle. In the bad old days, people would just save up and buy a car. And then auto loans became more popular as other costs ate into average household budgets. People still had to put money down, but it was a way to make the car buying process less of an upfront commitment. Today, dealerships will use the equity in a half-paid-off car as the down payment for the next new car as long as the entire transaction goes through them. This is, or was, incredibly profitable, because it let dealerships make a little bit of margin from the new car sale, the used car trade-in, and the financing. But this financing treadmill has now put the whole market in a very difficult position. Used car prices spiked during the pandemic as supply chain breakdowns caused shortages. This let people trade in their old cars at higher prices to put down payments on more expensive new cars. If you were lucky and had a popular model back then, you might have been able to get more for your 3 to 5 year old car than you had spent on it when it was new. Now, the trade-off was that new cars were hard to buy and often came with dealership markups to account for market pricing. Now, this wasn't a problem back then, but it is a problem now as those cars try to repeat the cycle of rolling debt into new purchases. The average price of a used car has fallen considerably because supplies are no longer a major issue, and budget-conscious used car buyers don't have as much disposable income as they did 3 to 4 years ago with low interest rates and stimulus checks. And if things were looking bad for gas cars, it's significantly worse for EVs, but more on that soon. This means people are still underwater with the cars they have purchased with significant markups back in 2022. Some of these people can't even afford to sell their car without putting their own money down to clear their debt, let alone use the equity in their car to buy a new car. To make matters worse, car companies noticed the markups that customers were willing to pay the dealerships and wanted some of that action for themselves. When it was difficult to get enough components to keep up with demand, car companies started prioritizing higher trim variations of the same model to maximize the revenue on higher margin units. Optional extras like driver aids, sunroofs, heated and cooled seats, better sound systems, and infotainment are all sold at a significant markup from their component costs. In some cars, these components are installed anyway, and the features are just manually disabled for customers who didn't select the optional extra, so manufacturers really liked creating these higher spec vehicles. This trend quickly resulted in the market today, where affordable new cars, even from previously economy-focused brands, are all but extinct, and mid-range brands are now marketing themselves as competitors in the much more lucrative luxury market. Now, this is not unique to just the car market. A lot of companies have either gone down market to focus on a growing number of cost-conscious consumers or have taken their entire brand up market. We've mentioned it before, but it's worth repeating, that the wealthiest 10% of households now account for 50% of all the spending done in the economy and are responsible for all of the economic growth. But the thing with the car market, and you are going to have to trust my math on this, but the top 10% of income earners only actually makes up 10% of the population. And even then, not all high-income households are interested in buying premium vehicles. Yes, some high-income earners have car collections, but this is still a very rare minority. As car equity dries up, interest rates have jumped, and new cars have become more expensive, it's become harder for dealerships to get deals done. Now, according to data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, car sales have fallen, but not significantly. We are buying about 1 to 2 million fewer cars every year than we did before the pandemic. Not great, not terrible, right? Well, not exactly. All of these market conditions have combined with one unfortunate reality. Cars are just getting better. According to the S&P Global Mobility Survey, the average age of cars on the road in the US has increased by 3 years in just the last decade. It's increased by 2 years in just the past 4 years alone. This means people aren't buying new cars as often, and vehicle sales have been helped a lot by cars being sold 3 or 4 times over in their life rather than just once or twice when vehicles don't last as long. New cars might have more features on them that can go wrong, but generally, the essential stuff like bodies and drivetrains are far more robust than they have ever been. And yes, I can already hear some of you typing in the comments about Nissan CVTs. There are always bad examples, but generally, it's never been a better time to be a used car buyer. The average person will happily deal with some outdated electronics or broken infotainment if they have a reliable form of transportation. This has also encouraged new car buyers to seek out more reliable brands because even though they might have a warranty for the entire length of their ownership, the market perception of reliability can have a big impact on resale price. Companies like Stellantis, which makes Alfa Romeo, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Chrysler, have been hit by this from every direction. They played a lot of funny business with financing and dealer markups when they could, and their cars are consistently rated as some of the least reliable on the market. This is also a real problem for their ambitions to make their cars look like a luxury competitor, because when people think of Jeep, they don't think of a luxury SUV. They think of their broke cousin who bought a clapped-out Wrangler off Facebook Marketplace for $2,800 and a lawnmower, as a completely random example. Now, it might almost be satisfying to see bad manufacturers who cut costs and jacked up prices to feel some consequences, but there are some bigger factors at play here that will unfortunately most likely end up hurting regular people who just need a way to get around. Most car companies are not allowed to simply fail. They employ too many people in valuable jobs, and in a lot of countries with large auto industries, they are a significant export staple. Too big to fail is not unique to the car industry, but struggling car makers are often the first sight of bad things coming as they depend on finance, global trade, consumer confidence, labor, and resource prices to all play nice in order to run a profitable car company. We are already seeing governments step in to ease these problems. Nissan is a failing company. Their sales have slumped as their lineup has aged and brand perception is at an all-time low thanks to a series of very public problems with critical drivetrain components. The problems are also worse than the dismal sales trend alone would suggest because a lot of volume from this brand has come from extremely aggressive financing. Even when everybody else was arguably pushing car financing too far, Nissan stood out as a brand that would ride a loan on a new Maxima to basically anybody. The company also made a lot of sales to rental car fleets by offering aggressive bulk purchase discounts on their economy cars. This was a nice way to boost sales at the time, but rental car companies normally only keep their vehicles for 2 to 3 years before dumping them on the used market. This caused resale prices to tank on used Nissans because so many hit the market at the same time. Now, this wouldn't normally be Nissan's problem. However, in an effort to make sales, the company introduced a financing promotion where they would insure the future value of their cars in certain markets around the world so they were on the hook to buy their cars back at above value. They got away with this for a while when used car prices were high, but it's a significant hidden liability for a company already struggling with debt. Nissan had effectively gorged itself with short-term wins, and now it's facing complete insolvency. The Japanese government had not so subtly tried to fix these problems by playing matchmaker in a proposed merger between Honda and Nissan. The deal was promoted as a merger of equals, which would create one of the largest manufacturers in the world. But nobody took this seriously. Honda had better sales, better brand perception, they were in a better financial situation, better products, and had better management. It was a merciful way to save thousands of jobs in Japan and across the world. Now, this particular deal fell through, likely signifying the beginning of the end for Nissan, but similar interventions are likely going to become more common as other automakers deal with the same kind of problems. So yeah, dumb companies played stupid games and won stupid prizes, and unfortunately, workers are going to be the ones to feel it the worst. However, hot take alert, but we all share some blame in this as well. Cars are something that you and I, and everybody watching, are terrible at purchasing rationally. Whether we like to admit it or not, we do see the cars that we drive as a reflection of ourselves and the image we want to present to the world. Whether it's an EV to show that your RSUs got paid out, a lifted truck to show the Walmart parking lot who's boss, or a Chrysler Pacifica to show you have given up, cars are inevitably a way to communicate what we are about with total strangers. Even those people who have already left a comment talking about their 1996 Toyota Camry and how it's never going to die have still purchased an image. Their image is pretending to be better than the people who care too much about the car they are driving. Yes, car companies have become really good at taking advantage of human weakness, but we keep on falling for it. Their ads are almost always about how their cars are seen, rather than what they do, and it's all to show potential buyers how they can be seen. But as we are exposed to more advertising and social media where everybody is showing off their best life, this is resulting in some pretty alarming trends. Multiple surveys conducted on US and global car buyers found that Gen Zs, who are currently aged between 13 and 30, are the generation most likely to purchase a luxury car, despite having the lowest overall net worth, lowest incomes, and highest proportional levels of debt. Tragically, a lot of people in this generation are realizing very quickly that they may never be able to achieve financial independence or even financial stability. As a way to compensate for that, they are doing the next best thing, which is buying an expensive car to at least roleplay as people who aren't getting financially fucked from every angle. Now, the good news is yes, car companies can use brand perception to sell us on financially irrational purchases, but those same perceptions can come back to hurt them just as fast. So yeah, we gotta talk about Tesla. From its all-time peak, the company has lost more than $500 billion in market capitalization in less than 3 months. Uncertainty around trade wars, competition in global markets from highly competitive Chinese EVs, a general consumer shift back to internal combustion engines, and broader market slowdowns have all hurt the world's most valuable automaker. But let's be honest, whether you love him or hate him, Elon Musk is inextricably linked with the company's brand image. He has gone from someone who could be the sole marketing strategy for the entire company to an individual that is pushing a lot of people who would consider buying an EV away from the brand. Now, other car companies are probably really happy he is getting all of this attention, because even though it's a lot slower, people are pushing back against the idea of owning a car at all. Walkable cities, public transport, shorter commutes, and car sharing have all become much more popular issues across America. And while we have a lot of work to undo 7 decades of car-centric planning, having no car is becoming just as fashionable as having a fancy car. 3 years ago, I made a video about why good company CEOs should not be visionaries. Somehow, that video is more relevant today than it was back then, so go and check it out. And don't forget to like and subscribe to keep on learning how money works.